fuel tax credit doesn't do a whole lot for us. However, a reduction in spill penalties would do a lot for us. So, I just as one of the co-chairs, of this particular group, while I understand the difficulties that Commissioner Brown is outlining, personally, I'd be really disappointed if the task force didn't adopt a position on this. I mean, rather than saying let's study it some more or whatever. Sure, it has to go through the legislative process, but when you take a look at the amount of work that the group did, not to mention staff and DEC, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of work here, and I think we've achieved something that no other state or province on the West Coast has achieved. And I really think if we don't give it the impetus now and get the momentum up, how are we going to re-give it up in light of a lot of the roadblocks that are going to be there?
Let me just try a straw poll on each of the five then and see how many would favor a prevention credit program that included them and how many would oppose one or more of them. The first issue is the following Heather's suggestion. A reduction in spill penalties as part of a prevention program. Of the task force members, how many would favor that as an approach? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And how many would oppose such a provision? 1, 2, 3. Joe, you're not a member. Okay.
Joe Hill, up two hands.
Motor fuel tax refund. How many would favor a credit program that included that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And how many would oppose one that had motor fuel tax credit?
Well, I talked to Department of Revenue about what it means. I don't really know whether.
I like that's a
problem. Well, I think I'd have to say that those of us who don't fuel would probably not have any opposition to it, but probably not support it either, since there's no particular benefit.
Fish tax, Charlotte, good idea.
Well, I don't know how to go through this because you're breaking it down into it, and in general, I just don't support.
Well, then raise your hand every time. On fish tax, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and opposed, 1, 2.
Can I make a comment? Not opposed to fish tax, and I think at one point in time,
okay,
I even was one of them talking about how you could do it or would do it or something. But while I understand that the motor fuel tax is something that only the fuel in Alaska have an opportunity to get, so ships also have an opportunity to fuel in Alaska if they so desire. Whereas a fish tax, well, not the spot charters, but other vessels with them. The fish tax, unless you're a fishing vessel, you have no way to ever get from here to there. So I think that when you're setting up a special category, and I don't know that the industry needs its own special category above and beyond. I think we're trying to reach perhaps the largest denominator, as opposed to coming up with special things for a particular industry.
It's also
problematic once you get, if you put that in, even though you've got in the original language that it doesn't apply to the money that goes to municipalities, I suspect every mayor and every single member and all those folks are just going to be reactive.
I'll change mine.
Sea plan review. How many people would favor a credit program that affected the frequency of contingency plan review? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And how many would oppose one that affected sea plan review? And a Blue Star program, an award program. How many would favor a credit program that had an award program? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And how many would oppose? One. Okay. Heather.
I'd like to speak to the Blue Star program because I've been real leery of it the whole time, and I'm on the prevention subgroup. And I think now that the division has been made amongst the different categories of vessels, it's a real bearable thing, it's a real doable thing, and I thank and laud the staff for their work on that. It's a really good move.
Based on this, let's proceed to the issue of trigger and then come back to this. If there's going to be a program, the highest support is for Blue Star, followed by spill penalty and sea plan review. Let's go to the trigger and then come back and look at the package and see if someone wants to make a motion. The trigger, we have the three proposals of a three-tiered system, a single-tiered system, and a five-measure system. Among the three, how many people's top choice is the three-tiered system? How many people's top choice is the single trigger system? One, two, three. And how many people's top choice is the top five measures?
I want to vote for the first one. I'm sorry.
I tried to push this to a straw poll too quickly. The issue then is if there's going to be a credit program that might be Blue Star or Sea Plan or for spill prevention, should that be in the form of a three-tiered system where depending on the number of measures, you can get one of three different results, or on a single trigger system that you do half, you get half the points, you get the credit, or should it be on the top five measures that are applicable to all the vessels other than spot charters in this group as the method for achieving it? Heather?
I don't know, and so I'd like to hear some discussion on it because I don't know. The only thing I can think of that differentiates in the law is the three-tiered system offers something for almost everybody,
right.
And that's an advantage. Other than that, I'd like to hear what other people's feelings are.
Eric?
Well, I think Heather came up with exactly what my thought was, is this gives somebody an opportunity to qualify who doesn't necessarily have to do all of the things or as many of the things that somebody else does, but they still get rewarded for some form of prevention. To me, that's really important.
Other discussion among the three alternatives? Kevin O'Hara?
Well, the top five system basically took the most critical, easiest to do. The single trigger system is pretty easy to figure out, and it's you don't have to do not to carry a pump and all that stuff. I was divided between the single trigger and the top five to be the one acceptable.
I would just say that I lean more towards a single trigger, just because I think this three-tiered system is a good approach, but very burdensome as far as paying attention to it and the paperwork, and I can just see, costs associated with this system versus, one of the other two. So those are my arguments.
Gene?
The only problem I see with the singles here is that this isn't meant to be the definitive list of all prevention measures. So what's 50% of what, as you go? I mean, if you add four new ones and you do six off this list, then I think from the management standpoint, it's either the top five or the three-tier system is really the choice.
Well, we do have under item 20 on the prevention measures is other items proposed by operators, and I would assume as part of that, DEC could approve five of those, and that was or 10 of them, and as other acceptable measures. So someone could actually have 10 others and get 10 points and make that single trigger.
Or that qualifies 50% if you've got 30
50.
In the universe.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the university gets 50%. Well, actually, so maybe we take the 50% out, and it's actually the number of points.
Well, no, Brian, just from a staff point, the reason why we put the 50%, if you do add more points and more measures, then it's still 50% of those total points. Even if the totals change, the percentage doesn't. So that allows flexibility in the system.
Okay, are you ready for a second straw poll on which of the three methods, if there's going to be one? How many would favor the three-tiered system? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many would favor the single trigger system? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And how many the top five measures system? Okay, we've stricken top five measures, and a plurality favors the three-tier system.
Both?
Either or.
Either or.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes it a four. That makes it a four-tier system.
Oh yeah.
What's wrong with that?
You're making paperwork nightmare.
Yeah.
Why don't you just change tier two to 50% and just have a 20, 50, and 60, or 50, 20, 50, and 70, and just have a three-tier with 50.
Now, if in looking at the voting pattern on your choices here, basically the highest positive minus negative is your Blue Star program, your second is your C-Plan review, then you start getting into spill penalty and motor fuel. You know, just in looking at where you are and trying to reach consensus, it's probably these two you're dealing with with substantial approval, given the level of opposition to those two and less support out of the group. So I guess just in terms of looking at your process, if you're going to apply two measures times three or four credits times one of them being a three-tiered system, you're getting into the level of complexity for administration that I think you need to be aware of, and particularly on these two, that means involving another state agency in determining, in making some determinations. I guess having completed the straw poll, maybe that helps inform the discussion a little bit, and someone wants to try a proposal or a suggestion for where we go from here. Commissioner?
I just want to point out, when you're talking about the two that require other agencies, the whole spill penalty structure is built around, it's not a penalty in the sense of a fine, it's liquidated damages. And when you talk about taking away damages to the state from the spill, you're sort of upsetting the entire structure that has been created of how damages are collected. So my guess is if you're going to go with something like this, you're going to be looking at counter proposals to figure out ways to assess damages. This was done in lieu of damages, in lieu of demonstrable damages. So it's not just a fine. It's a very, very complicated area.
Senator Pierce?
This is up to me. Is it fine? Based on how many?
$10 per gallon.
How much volume?
But what it says in the statute is it's not like a penalty in the sense of you're being punished for doing a bad act. It's liquidated damages for damage that they can't really quantify. Because we know spills cause damage, but you can't go out there and count fish or you can't count those things. So it's not to be meant as a punitive measure. It's meant to be liquidated damages. Where you get the punitive measure is if you've done something bad that caused the spill, you get five times the penalty. That's the punitive aspect of it. But the basic penalty provision, call penalty, is liquidated damages. And so, I mean, you're talking about, and that was bitterly fought at the time as well. So you really are changing the whole flavor of that one. So that was a very complicated one as well as the tax one.
Sure.
I just want to make the general observation that, along with the concerns of the commissioner, there are many aspects to this that are fraught with difficulties and unintended circumstances or reactions. But I'm with Eric, and I'm with Gene on this. I've sat through these prevention meetings, and we've got to keep this thing alive. We may be the only state that can actually do this. I think we've come too far and have too much invested in our time and effort to just abandon it at this point. So I just wanted to get that out there on the record.
Captain O'Hara?
My feeling is that we ought to keep, just send this out. Something from the health care down.
Just following up on what Mike said, task force is being asked for recommendations. It's not our job to do the legislating, and particularly as Commissioner Brown has pointed out, this is going to open, Pandora's box. So why shouldn't we expose as much of our work as possible and let the legislature pick and choose from it? Because that way they will know the different types of thinking that were going on in here, and B, it won't be do this or nothing. It's like, here's several opportunities. What do you think?
Well, unfortunately, the honest answer to that question is because if we'd like to have something that we could put on the table that does have some sort of consensus, so we don't have to go back to it. The last session is people saying, we're not sure what to do on the defense, but we don't like it. We want to get back into that cycle. So we're trying to bring specific recommendations forward. Perhaps the way to go about this is to choose, as Brian has just done, narrow down to what the group is most comfortable with, let Debbie and others go back back to us with something more specific based on the we go for C plan review and still penalty and with a single trip, whatever. And so that you're looking at one suggestion rather than this menu that we've got today and see what people think. So at least you're closer, and in the meantime we can all go back and look at the statutes go back and and have those discussions about whether it's a fine or whether it's what did you call it? Liquidated damages, and try to work through that.
Yeah, I guess I was just going to respond to what Mike said and Eric said, and that's that. I mean, we spent the better part of today trying to figure out how we can come up with a consensus piece of legislation that's like forest practices, where hopefully everybody says, this is the way it's going to be, don't start throwing tails and horns on it. And then to tack another portion on that's the opposite of that strikes me as somewhat inconsistent. They don't have to necessarily be the same piece of legislation, but I was thinking along those same lines. Drew, is it pick one that there really is much more of a comfort level on, like extending a period of a C plan or a Blue Star program, and focus on developing that, because I don't think you'll have quite as much controversy on those, and you also won't have the Me Too's as strong on that. But I can guarantee you, if you start talking spill penalty reduction, and then you see, the crude industry out there, even looking at the statute, you're going to have people all coming in blue.
Charlotte, and then Gene.
Well,
and then Larry.
In recognition that it's controversial, and it may get torn down, may have a better chance if it does go out as a proposal for further review and work, so it's an ongoing process, because if it's this is what we want and it gets struck down, it can just be thrown out completely. If it's this is what we recommend be pursued and further work go into, then it has the potential for a continued life and it has the potential to become something more of a grade.
I'll say a couple thoughts. One, every proposal this group is making is subject to the same considerations and concerns that have been expressed about this provision. And we haven't established any boundaries that prohibited any recommendations. This was set out day one as a sector that we were going to look at from an intervention standpoint. So I would argue that it's clearly within the purview of this group to make recommendations on prevention and prevention credits. And the legislature may or may not go with it, just as they may or may not go with the other recommendations we make. I think we can identify a proposal, although it wouldn't affect a lot of folks, motor fuel, maybe C-Plan review, and Blue Star as the prevention benefits that we would recommend using the system. And if you take the 50% rule to keep it simple, and we could articulate that as a proposal and see where it goes. And from the legislature standpoint, there may be some legal issues that we're not giving enough consideration to, but you're not going to have members of the non-tank transport group, the pilots or the container shippers, and complaining about this. I mean, this would be almost a virtual consensus of the group here, other than maybe the spot charters. So it would be analogous to the other recommendations.
You have three of the measures that have received affirmative votes from a majority of the task force, 24 members here. So three have received a majority, two did not receive majority support. I just note that as to where you are.
I think the comments that the commissioners made on spill penalties really, I mean, that's one we ought to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And but on motor fuel, 11 voted for it and only one didn't. And I think a lot of the interest against motor fuel was a lot of folks aren't going to be impacted by that. But those who are, there are some of the smaller operators that buy their fuel in the state. And if they come up with these prevention measures, that's a way for them. If you knock out the fish tax, that's the way that the smaller operators and the fishermen would have some benefit from that. So I'd suggest motor fuel, Sea Plan, and Blue Star, the 50% range, keep it simple, and go with it.
Gene and then Heather? I mean Larry and then Heather. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I was just going to speak to the penalty provision. We talked about it a little bit before in the work group, but that is, I mean, when the legislature built that, and when you go back and there's been a couple of papers done on our law and how it was derived, I mean, it is the compensation to the state for the damages to its natural resources. That's what's envisioned here on the statute. That's what they're, they use a dollar per gallon, and it's a rough gauge based on the nastiness of your oil and the sensitivity of the receiving environment. And it was the legislature's way of quantifying what the value of the damages to the state's resources were that occur from a spill. And that's how they valued it, and that's why it's in there, and that's what they did. And it's also got another peculiar thing. I can't even tell, even though we've done a lot of work on this, which statute applies to. The other curious thing they did, there's a break here at 18,000 gallons or I'm not sure of all the history of why they picked 18,000, but for big ones, they prescripted the value of the what a gallon of oil would be with regard to a spill and the damages to the environment. And if it's under 18,000, it's assessed by the court. I'm not even sure if legally we can do a 30% thing on the judicial system here. So there's a number of complexities here with regard to whether it applies to 758 or 760 or both that we haven't gotten to that still need to be sorted out. So, and if the prevention measure, I mean, it's kind of an oxymoron that if you've had the spill, I mean, my assumption is the prevention measure failed. But that's what we're giving away. I mean, if you give it back, I mean, what you're giving up is the money that the state said we wanted for the damages to our natural resources. And that was to cover salmon and fisheries and all the critters that are supported out there. So, I don't know.
So, where I sense the group is right now is not wanting to further consider fish tax and spill penalty, that using a three-trigger system, So we have three triggers times five vessels times three possibilities for a total of 45 possible prevention credits. Some are statutory, some are regulatory, and some are administrative. Question in terms of staff trying to draft this as part of a report, are these cumulative? If you qualify for one, do you qualify for all three? I'm still troubled by how to try to write up these 45 possibilities in something that is a reasonable recommendation.
Yeah, right. Would you guys come up with that? Cumulative?
Eric. Gene's asking a question here, and you know, it's a good one, but you take a look at, you know, if you say which one's the easiest perhaps to get buy-in on, acceptance on, will receive the least amount of opposition, particularly when it gets into the legislative process, it's probably Blue Star. That's not taking any money out of anybody's pocket, you know, it's not going to another agency, you know, or whatever. And that's kind of a reward thing. But C-plan review is what's really going to start saving people dollars. And C-plan review, again, is within the scope of everything that's going on here. You know, it's like everything this task force is doing is setting up the C-plan review requirements. And so, therefore, we're not sort of reaching into anybody else's bailiwick here. When you get into motor fuel, then we start getting into, you know, some areas, you know, that are more departments that are, you know, and this is revenue and things like this. But, I mean, even leaving the third one in there, to me it seems like, you know, at whatever kind of reward, you know, however we choose, you know, the levels or whatever, you probably should qualify for however many of the programs we select and forward, not just one. Because we took out the two biggies. We took out the fish tax and the spill penalty one. I mean, everybody would want the spill penalty. Now we can't have it. Thank you.
Heather and then John.
Yeah, this is Heather McCarthy. I like the three. I think it's good, and I think people would like to see all three as a reward for any kind of program. And that's where I get stuck a little bit, because I'm not sure that my people are going to be as enthusiastic about it at the end of the process as they would be at the beginning when they had the potential for those three rewards. At the end of the process, when they get the blue star, or maybe only one star, or maybe no stars, you know, they might be disappointed in the fact that the incentive was sort of in front of them and then was whipped away. That's my only concern. I'm being real honest with you. That's my concern with my people. And I don't know whether they'll think it's worth it if the Blue Star program is the only thing they get. It's just simple as that.
And the Blue Star under the three-tiered system would be one star for one, two for two, three for three,
right,
something like that.
Right.
Okay.
But I do favor the three tiers over the one, and I'll tell you why. I think it's because I don't know what's going to happen under these others that are composed by operators. That bothers me a little bit, too, that people could come as individual groups or individual companies and propose them to the DEC that doesn't have any approbation by anybody else, and it's just sort of like, hey, what do you think of this? And they say, great, and all of a sudden you got, you know, three blue stars, and nobody knows how you got them, sort of thing, except you and DEC. You know what I mean? It's just a little bit sort of outside the process and could be abused. I'm not saying it would be, but it could be.
Okay, based on a recommendation that would have a three-tier system with three credits as laid out here, how many people would favor that type of a recommendation in the report of the staff force? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10? And how many would oppose?
Something else to favor besides that?
Well, I'm, at this point, I'm trying to, I don't have 12 votes for anything, so it maybe doesn't matter. How many would, does somebody want to try another alternative?
You're not asked how many would support it with the single criteria.
How many would support the three-part with a single criteria? One.
Can you vote
the single trigger? Single trigger.
One.
Okay.
One
person.
I would support that if I could change my vote.
Okay.
It's not clear here.
Well, you can support more than one.
Oh,
no,
you can.
Support
yeah,
that
you
one.
Okay, how many would support that one? I'm trying to find something that has a majority, if anything does. Oh. Two, three, four, five, seven. Okay, I don't have. Okay. Does anyone want to try something else that they think they can get 12 votes? Okay, how many would support a three-tier system for C-Plan and Blue Star?
Yeah, this is
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. How many would support a single trigger with C-Plan and Blue Star? One, two, three. You can vote a single trigger. I'm trying to find some combination as well. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Right.
But the majority for a single trigger system for C-Plan review and Blue Star will write that up. Hey, all right.
Appropriate second reply.
Let's explain how this
Jimmy noted this is
not a
now, that now leads to the final issue, which is funding for the administration of the DEC non-tank vessel program. And
Blue Stars are
clearly. At 6:25 at night, not time for us to try to write a fiscal note, nor is it the task force's job to write a fiscal note. But I think the issue has been raised. Is there a way that the task force can develop a recommendation that addresses the issue of funding in a way that allows the recommendations that have significant cost impacts, and as noted by the DEC staff, that's really turnaround time, and sufficient staff to review issues. Is there a recommendation that would address the issue of funding that tells the legislature we recognize that this program needs to be funded in order to work?
I think probably part of the problem is until we see it, you know, we get it down on paper, it's hard to tell you how much it's going to cost from a private sector perspective, and it's hard to figure out what it's going to cost from a government perspective. What I would recommend is the DEC now go back and actually prepare the fiscal notes on these various elements, and then we have the opportunity to comment on those throughout the process, including the final report.
I guess I have heard, you know, through this process that the turnaround times are going to be the costly because of staff. And I think that, you know, the turnaround times are only going to be for the spot charter people. I think the people that are doing business in Alaska are willing to go through the 45-day review and wait for 3 years. And so, you know, in order to look at costs, you know, you really need to get a handle on how many people you think are actually going to look for this five-day turnaround, because I think the majority of the 900 vessels that you are, you know, that we've gotten COFRs for are not going to be those that are going to require that five-day turnaround and will fit into your normal standard review process.
I don't think that characterizes that charter, but if you're doing a shell plan, that's opposed to approval. And then you just sign on the boats as they come. They don't fall in that five-day turnaround.
Well, then I'm unclear as to why it's the short turn time, the turnaround time, that is going to be so costly. That's what I just heard.
I don't know.
As stated by staff in the meetings, the issue was one of ensuring sufficient staff that there's never a six-day gap in any staff member due to sickness, due to vacation time, and issues such as that.
That kind of came up before we actually had the shell concept. We signed in. It was when every spot charter was going to have to go through a three-line permit for each and every vessel, but once we got the shell and they just signed into it, that alleviated a lot of that work.
Larry?
Well, then
I think the costing on the five-day came up when we were talking earlier today about whether or not we'd have to engage in the actual storage volume type thing. And if there was a large volume of those that came in on a five-day, then that would require more if that volume is high. But I think that's the only context. I think the bigger difference, the bigger driver here in the cost, whether they're high or low, is how many go streamlined versus how many go individual. And the individual, otherwise, is going to be the bigger, it takes more time, more staff effort. I mean, us reviewing the four-part streamlined plan administratively is the easiest, lowest-cost way to go. And I don't have a good feel for that right now. I mean, if we end up with co-op cards and SOPEPs, it's a lot lighter than if we're going with individual reviews. And I can't quite tell, you know, I think we're all going to need more time now that we know what the equipment file is and how it's going to cost and it needs to be located for people to start working those issues. But beyond that, if it's an individual review plan, yeah, it takes more time. It's more labor intensive. I mean, we very much prefer the streamlined options that I think we're trying to encourage. Might not come out that way, though. I don't know.
Mr. And then Senator and then Gene. We'll come right down the line.
I had two, one of which Larry just covered. It's hard to predict since we don't know how many are going to be co-op stamps and how many are going to be the other individual plans. But the other factor that we're going to have to grapple with is what's the funding source. Is this going to be paid out of GF? Is it going to be paid out of fees? Is it going to be paid out of 470 funds? Those are big questions, particularly when you're talking about things like prevention.
The raw fish tax.
Not sure there'd be enough there for it.
Or the comment from the peanut gallery set out a permanent fund dividend.
Larry's comment that the more groups that try to do their own group vessel fleet plans, whatever you want to call it, will require more time by DEC to do the approval. While I agree with that, you're also way out there in the future before any of those come and hit DEC's desk. I would think there are a number of entities that already know they're going to be part of a PRAC or a response action contract that already exists. That's going to happen reasonably quickly. Those are going to start coming in and look fairly, they're all going to look a lot alike. Then at the same time, DEC is going to be working on the language they would use for the shell contingency plan, and that's going to take a while to develop. But those groups, if they decide at the end of the day that they really are going to go out and do their own fleet plan and set up their own system, I don't expect to see any of those contingency plans walk through the door for approval for pretty much until the end of the process. So I don't know, Larry, that you're really going to have that much additional work in terms of hitting at the same time, is what I'm trying to say. So I guess I don't see that fact as necessarily adding that much on top to what the people are going to be doing kind of out there. Then on the second point that the commissioner made, when the governor introduced the bill and then I introduced the companion bill on the Senate side, the governor came forward using 470 funds, and so we introduced the same thing. I don't remember any intense griping. In fact, the oil industry never said who to me about using 470 funds, there is a finite amount of 470 funds. I certainly understand that, and I think the commissioner has, it's part of her job to worry about, are we getting beyond that finite amount? But clearly when we set that fund up, and as we've gone through preparedness and readiness in the state, that would be the logical first place to look for the funding for the program. And I don't know why we'd change that now. We'll have to work to try to make sure that we keep the numbers small enough that, so we can fit in. Now, that's not to say that either the railroad or the ferry system don't have to come with their, up their own money to do their contingency plan. It isn't going to be too bad. I don't know why it would change.
Gene?
Oh, Senator Pierce covered my whole first section.
Further discussion of this issue? Okay, where we're going to go from here then is the facilitators are going to meet with the steering committee on the legislation issue to discuss the, sort of how we want to proceed. We have not had the opportunity prior to this meeting to get together on that due to vacation and other schedules. So we'll deal with that and get back out to you on that issue. We'll have an updated report out to everyone by next Monday, and would ask that people get comments back to us on those issues, on anything that you think we got wrong as part of this. This is going to be a fairly long transcript, so I wouldn't expect that the actual transcript would be out, certainly not tomorrow. It's going to take Kim a while to get that out. We will post it as soon as we can get it out to everyone. With that brings us to the final agenda item, task force member and public comments. Any comments from members of the task force before we break for the day? Yes, Heather.
I'd like to thank you and the other members of your team. I think you've done a great job. And
thank you.
I appreciate that.
Any other task force? Yes, Eric.
Just a comment just about the process in general. I think everybody around here has put in a lot of time, and I think probably everybody's sitting here feeling quite a bit of satisfaction right now, or at least I hope they are. This has been just a real opportunity to see how this, you know, kind of process works. But I would hope two things. I would hope that this isn't necessarily the end. If we look at best practices up and down the coast, we see other things happening. Jeff just left, but we see things like marine exchanges forming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and we see industries taking over the ability to police themselves under guise of different types of programs. I mean, this is like the first step. We've spent a lot of time doing this, and we are where we are. When all this sort of filters out and we get all the programs in place and we get the next couple of years under our belt, it's going to start looking a little different to us, and there will be new ideas and new ways to do things. So, I look forward to the opportunity to work with anybody here and everybody here, you know, as this thing, you know, continues to move, because it's, you know, prevention, you know, is a big part of it, but regulation is an equally big part of it, and none of it's going away. So I'd just like to say that I've been honored to be a member of this group and work with everyone here. And certainly I think that the dedication of our sponsor group here and staff has been admirable. Thank you.
Any other task force member comments? Any public comments?
Thanks for doing this, guys.
If there's no further business, we return.
Thank you, everybody.